Why don't we begin? I think Director Sweeney is on his way, but we will go ahead and start. Welcome, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. We'll have a roll call.
Governor Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney. Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiser.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I want to welcome David Goldberg, down here, who's our new general counsel and thanks at the table. We're extremely pleased to have him here. As you know, he's an appointment by the Attorney General, and we're incredibly grateful to her for that, and to Liz Luby for becoming the chief and the acting general counsel. Liz will still be with us and will be helping, I know, but she did step up and we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have one request for a public comment. Eileen Glynn Tucker from Green Oak.
Is there any way for me to go a little bit later in the meeting? My partner is going to come and present with me, if that is possible.
Sure, we can figure out how to do that. Just somebody needs to remind me so that we get rolling along. I don't forget about you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're completely welcome. Thank you. So then let's start with the business of the meeting. May I hear a motion for approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting and the executive meeting of January 2016?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. I do this just to remind ourselves and anybody who's tuning in on air that the committee meetings are held separately from the board meeting. Much of the work that goes on before the board goes on in the committees now. And I would like to call on the committee chairs, please, to do a report from their meetings. I know you do have copies of some of the presentations here. Some of the chairs may reference those presentations as well. So why don't we start here with Director Peterson?
Sure. The Finance Committee met last week, and we got a presentation from Mike Kelch regarding the bond financing team that we're in the process of preparing for. We're looking at going out to about $200 million in a bond issue roughly around July. Depending on market conditions, we may or may not go for more money. In the process of that, we need to hire a bond financing team, a group of financial advisors, underwriting and bond counsel. So the process, RFP process will probably begin roughly around March, thereabout in the process. So Mike brought us up to speed on that and talked a little bit about the selection and about the process in general, and we'll continue to keep the committee informed as we progress. We also had a presentation from John Donato regarding streamlining of the procurement process. Currently, the process is taking roughly an average 188 days to process a request because of the CMS, and John's more familiar with this than I am, CMS and EEC and the different layers of bureaucracy we have to go through. It's impacting our efficiencies and abilities to bring some of these products to market in a timely manner, so there's a cost to that for the patrons and bondholders of the tollway. So we're trying to figure out a way to expedite that process, maybe increase the threshold of monies that are brought to the board for approval. Right now, I believe if anything is $34,000 or more has to come to the board for approval. And so we are reviewing those items and also maybe different financial thresholds for approval from the board. John is also working with the Illinois General Assembly on some statutory changes to some of the procurement process. And maybe John can tell us how that testimony went. I think it was last week or this week.
Yes, we're going to update on it. Absolutely.
You want to go ahead and bring us up to the other
one, too? Thank you, Director. Good morning, Directors. I was in Springfield earlier this week on Tuesday to testify and give oral testimony on our procurement bill, and just to give you a brief overview of some of the highlights, having a set protest period for 7 days, because right now when we publish award notices, we have to wait a minimum of 14 days before we can execute the contract. Tier one subcontractor reporting, we're saying that we only want to get certification disclosure forms from the first tier of subcontractors and nothing below. That would align the tollway with IDOT, and that's what they follow currently. Board of Elections certificate of registrations. Many of you know we throw out several bidders because they do not include the certificate within their submittal. However, they are registered with the Board of Elections. And what we're asking for here is a 3-day cure period in the event that a bidder omits or just a brief oversight and doesn't include that certificate. Financial disclosure forms. Allow vendors to submit a previously approved disclosure form with an affidavit stating that nothing has changed. That is an undue burden on the agency and the vendor itself to prepare all those documents and submit them. And similar to the financial disclosures, our previously disclosed potential conflicts of interest. I think everyone has heard me talk about the process of once a potential conflict of interest is identified and all the hands it has to go through before a decision is even made. And what we're saying is once the Procurement Policy Board makes a recommendation on a given vendor, as long as nothing has changed with that conflict, we can go forward. So those are some of the items, in the bill that we presented earlier in this week. And we had some good feedback. And I think, from a state standpoint, they're looking at several procurement bills that are in the committee right now, and they're probably going to make one bigger bill to make sure everything is right and correct. So we're looking forward to hearing more information from them.
Thank you, John. Thank you. One other item that the committee reviewed and bringing up to speed on is the vendor diversity. We have 51 new firms from the January bulletin that include primes and subs. Of those, we have 5 new primes. Of those 5 new primes, I believe 2 were DBEs. Yeah. And there was six total DBE primes out of that 51. Actually, 51, six primes, 6 DB primes, 2 were new.
Yes.
So the diversity program is working, and just wanted to be able to speed on that and the new firms they've been about, that we've been focusing on. So thank you.
Any questions for Mark or for John? I just have one question for John. Maybe we're going to get to this when you do the legislative. Just whether we have other allies on this, other agencies, or is peculiar to the tollway.
No, there are definitely other agencies that also are interested in seeing some of these changes. In addition, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, is leading kind of business efforts and business groups advocacy on this issue and connection with them too. So I did hear both John Donato and Mike Stone went down to Springfield to testify and kind of explain our position. I heard great feedback. John did a great job. Of course Mike did a great job as well, but it was primarily John who spoke to it and heard some very positive feedback. So I do think that, these changes will be helpful for us. It's Senate Bill 3634, for those of you who are
junkies
who are interested in actually looking at it.
And I think we should just, for the record, state that this in no way compromises the integrity of the procurement process.
Right.
It really is continuing to preserve how well the procurement process works, but trying to make it work without the extensive delays.
I think that there were some well-intentioned reforms, but as they're applied, obviously you have an opportunity to see where there are, maybe some changes or tweaks that, as you said, don't compromise the process. So that's really what we're trying to recommend here.
Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Director Wiseman, on the strategic planning.
Yes, strategic planning committee met last week, and talked about our overall schedule again, revised that slightly, and we'll be dealing with a number of items from traffic noise abatement to cost sharing policy to multimodal planning over the next 18 months. But I wanted to, and we talked about the basically, I guess, what we refer to commonly as the noise wall policy, and I'll use that as an example for how we intend to proceed with any of these policies that we touch on going forward. So the policy in terms of public input was very important to us. So what we, the way this will work, and again, we'll use the noise wall policy as an example. It was introduced to the draft policy was introduced to the committee. There was discussion there. 48 hours prior to that, that was actually posted on our website for public review and comment. And that comment period will last 21 days, at which time it will then be posted. Well, comments will be posted as well. The committee will then meet again, taking into consideration the comments that we receive, our own internal comments and questions with staff,
assisting in that process as well, and we approve a policy at that time, a recommended policy at that time, that would then go to the full board at the next meeting. That's the process we intend to follow going forward. Relative specifically to the noise abatement, the noise wall policy, we reviewed that, and I think what you will see is a policy not hugely different from that of the past, but much more specific. I think there were some question marks or some areas where people where questions weren't clearly answered, and I think our staff has worked very hard to make sure that we're very specific about how that policy works and what would be required overall. We also engaged in a discussion about cost sharing, and that can pertain to any number of items as we go forward. But, interchanges are one of those items, as well as traffic noise abatement walls that can come into effect, bridges, landscaping, lighting, all those different things can end up involving some cost sharing. And IGAs or intergovernmental agreements are probably the typical way we deal with that. We also sometimes deal with through letters of understanding or memoranda of agreement or memoranda of understanding as well. But we began discussions about cost sharing spoke a little bit, I think, specifically about interchange policies, et cetera, and got some ideas. So that was just the beginning discussion there, but we'll be moving into that more seriously going forward and come forward with a policy for that. But the next thing you'll see is really the noise abatement policy going forward. We'll come to the committee, I think, in March.
After the public comment. So then I think the idea is you'll notice we don't have any presentations at this board meeting today, but as the committees now are starting to do more strategic work and policies are being developed, I think you'll start to see, as we get into the mid and latter part of the year, some of the work bubbling up in the committees with, some of those presentations that the committees have seen, just briefings on the policies that either the whole board would need to vote on to adopt or something that the committee provided the direction on.
Thanks to Christy and her staff who are working really hard at the committee level to get those things through the process to get to the full board. That's great.
Very helpful. And we would look forward to any comment from board members, not on the strategic planning committee, relative to the noise abatement policy as well before we finalize that. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I think, actually, I apologize, but I think you said March, but I think that the next committee, April, it's every other month.
You're right.
So I apologize. Sorry I didn't catch that.
Yep.
And the next audit committee meeting is scheduled for March, so we don't have a report on that today. So then on customer service.
Yeah, the customer service committee met on February the 15th. We took a look at the work plan as kind of the overview for our activities, taking a look at both the short and long-term goals. And we took a look at that in comparison to a lot of the information that we got from the focus groups. Comparing the information that the tollway brought in from the focus groups, and started kind of setting some priorities and some direction for staff to take a look at some of the issues on our work plan. Specifically, we looked at, number one, the violation policy, and after reviewing the information from the focus group, kind of the operations of how the policy itself works currently, there was direction given to staff from the committee that we want to try and take more of a customer first or a potential customer approach to the violation policy as compared to the way we evaluated the policy as it currently stands, which is kind of treating everybody as a violator. The goal being bring people into the fold a little bit quicker, see what the opportunities are for us to offer some type of incentive for people that have been in violation to make them part of the system, get them a transponder, get them into the fold that way. Currently staff's taking a look at that, evaluating that from the kind of practicality of how we would do that and the financial impacts and how we'd be able to maximize those benefits. One of the other things we're taking a look at is so that policy would be a little bit less punitive, also taking a look at the fact that there would be earlier contact with people that are in violation. And one of the issues that we have in dealing with that is dealing within the confines of the current systems that we have, hardware and software systems that we're operating under, and trying to figure out how we're going to deal with that. One of the other issues we dealt with or discussed was fleet policy. Currently, we deal with everyone as though they're essentially individual customers. So whether you're a commercial entity with 200 different transponders or whether you're a family with two, we try and operate within the same confines. So we've identified that as an issue, and we're working really kind of to set out a two-tiered approach. One, what can we do in the short term immediately to address those concerns? And two, then what we'll be able to do as we move forward and with our own technology as we're stepping that up and looking to make an investment in technology. So both of those are impacted based on our current system, which brings us to the fact that staff is completing this week, I think, the interviews on the request for information with the vendors. 26 different vendors we've had presentations from coming in, providing us with information so that we really feel like we have the best knowledge and understanding of the state-of-the-art technology that's available to us. And that information is going to be used to create our RFP as it goes out. The goals of our RFP are going to be to have a system that's flexible, that allows us to maintain and take advantage of technology developments as they come along. But also, we want to make sure, and we talked about this, drafting it in such a manner that we can maximize competition and participation in the RFP policy, maximizing competition with the understanding of getting the best benefit, highest dollar benefit for the tollway and its customers. I think that pretty much sums up our meeting.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments for Director Reddy? Okay, thank you. I don't
think anything else. Good. Well, I also, just to give a little bit of background, I am also very happy that we have our new general counsel here, Mr. Goldberg. He really brings a lot of knowledge and extensive experience to us, both from the private sector as various, and you know, counsel within, in-house counsel within various corporations, but also, you know, started his career at Sidley and Austin. So just a real breadth of experience. We're very excited that he's here, but I also want to thank Liz Luby, who really stepped in and did a tremendous job for us in those couple of months that we needed her, and we'll continue to need her to provide good service to us. So thank you very much for that. You've already, I think, the major item for us right now in the legislative session are some of these changes to the procurement reform, and I think that those have been well received. Senator Pam Althoff is sponsoring that bill for us, which would, I think, really help to streamline the process. And I think some improvements that I think seem to have a good, you know, that people were receptive and understanding of our position on some of those changes. So that Senate bill was filed on February 10th, and it's been assigned to the Senate Procurement Committee. So we're hopeful that we can advance that. I think that there's the thinking now is that there are, you know, variety. I mentioned the Illinois Chamber, a variety of people looking for different legislative changes and improvements, and that the idea, I think, is that those would, you know, be tackled either in one, you know, larger bill or a series of, you know, amendments to central bills. So we're excited by that, and again, we had good feedback from John's participation in that hearing. Illinois Route 53-120 design workshop. Some of you may have seen the New York Times article on our efforts there. It happened earlier this month. It was very well received. It was a day-long workshop, which even at the end of the day, there was still a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, which I have to say, for a day-long workshop, it's not always the case. But members of the general public and the media were invited to attend, along with the members of the advisory council, and the morning session really began with a series of presentations and discussions on some of the particular traffic environmental concerns. We presented a variety of design options, just
really to give people something to respond to. And then the day wrapped up with the discussion of some of the common themes that I think really will help inform our efforts on this project going forward. We also had some instant polling of some of the leading concepts with which people really enjoyed. So all in all, I think it was very successful. I know Director Peterson was able to attend for a good portion of it. I don't know if you have anything to add, but I think that it was, I thought people,
it's quite a diverse group. It's been well chaired by David Stolman and George Ranney, the co-chairs of the committee. It's brought leaders in industry and business, environment, municipalities, local governments. It's brought a whole host of people and different ideas and thoughts. It's well done. It's been a great process to watch so far.
And I think most importantly, the final question of the day was whether the work should continue, and the overwhelming consensus was that it should. So I think that was important, and we do try to every once in a while ask that question to see if we still have the will of the advisory council is still there, and it definitely is. So we were excited by that.
I'm thinking we're going to talk about this, but the next steps in terms of that process.
And the next steps are, I think we saw some of the, started to see some consensus developing around what the important issues were, some of the design elements that people felt were important. We have a full advisory council meeting, I believe, on March 5th, if that's correct. And then we continue to have these working groups of the advisory council, mobility and finance, environment and sustainability, and design and, design and what was the
land use.
That's right. So those three working groups will continue to meet. We'll have a couple more meetings. We're hoping for a final report by May 18th. I have no doubt, just given how passionate everybody is about this project and their positions, that we will continue to hear a lot of feedback on this project even after that May 18th deadline. But I know that the co-chairs are very much committed to driving toward that deadline. We'll keep you informed of those council meetings, and of course you're all always welcome to attend, but we have many tollway staff also attending these meetings, and Rocco has done a tremendous job of staffing and bringing this work together. Michelle Graham is also doing a fantastic job for us. So
the next big question is the financing and the...
Now that we have a better sense of what design elements are important, and of course, as we anticipated in Lake County, environmental impacts are going to be particularly important on this project as well. So now that we have a better sense of those, I think we'll be in a better position to be able to talk about, again, very broadly speaking, what the cost and financing opportunities will be, how much revenue could be generated by the traffic itself, versus, other potential financing opportunities. So, but that will be the next big, I think, challenge. We'll be working on how something might be paid for. So, other than that, I think I don't have anything else.
Okay, on legislation, we should just mention that two of our directors actually got through the Senate Appointments Committee, and we want to congratulate Peterson and Reddick. They now go to the full Senate, and then the three sitting directors, I think, were way through. So Thomas Wisner and Banks are on their way to the full Senate, and then the other directors are scheduled for a hearing later. So we're delighted that the Senate has have an opportunity to get to know the directors and to approve them. Okay, I think we can turn now to the consent agenda, unless there's anything else.
I think that Director... Reddick is going to give a little bit of update on the transport item when it comes up.
Okay, right. I just want to make sure we do this so as we're moving through here, we will know the stuff. So we'll start with 6.0, and we'll start with 6.1, which is the information technology. We'll do 1 through 4 there. If I could have a motion.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? That carries. Thank you. Now we'll turn to business systems for transport. I believe that this was something that the committee thought merited some discussion in the full board.
It is. If it pleases the chair, I guess I'd make a motion to approve and to get it on the floor.
Sure.
And then offer my comments. I move to approve item number one under 6.2.
Second. Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair. The reason that we brought this forward and we wanted to make sure that the board was fully aware is this offers a little bit of a change in direction from the activities of the board in the past. What we're looking at here is the final phase of the breakup of the activity that TransCorp's been doing for us from the customer service standpoint. This is the fourth and final phase of that. Currently, staff is taking a look at we're getting bids and we're trying to contract out those activities. The other three phases were implemented and changed over. This was not changed due to the timing, because of the fact that this is the call center that would have changed over at the time that the total increase went into effect. It was deemed to be more appropriate that we kind of stay the course with them to make sure that we didn't have any issues associated with that when we're making these other pretty significant operational changes. The contract that's before us is for a 90-day extension. As I mentioned, we're working on contracting this out and anticipate, and we are taking actions to move forward. It's anticipated that it's going to take longer than 90 days. It's virtually assured that it's going to take us longer than 90 days. So what was originally before the committee was a 90-day extension. What we have before the board today is an authorization for up to three extensions at that amount, the contract amount, and it's to provide a little latitude for staff to work through as we're dealing with some of the other issues with procurement that we roughly talked about before. But because of that change, I just wanted to make sure that the full board was aware of this and offered up for their input and thought.
And just as it was a brainstorm that I had a little late, frankly, that we knew going into the customer service committee that we would that a 90-day extension, which is what we're allowed for, which is what we're allowed to do under the procurement code and the CPO's direction for the state, we'll be doing a series of 90-day extensions. But we know it's going to take longer, and so instead of coming back to the board every 90 days, just thought to make sure to give all of you, you know, a heads up and see if we could just get the authorization so we can move forward. One of the complications, as Director Reddick mentioned, is just making sure that there's a seamless transition to the new service. But also, you know, we do have we have a lease at an outside facility that this is housed in, and that lease will expire at the end of the year. So we don't want to transition someone into old space and have to transition them again into new space. We'd like to try to do it all at the same time too, which is important.
And by the same token, we didn't want anybody to think that we were looking for a one-time 90-day extension. We know, for a matter of fact, it is not going to be done within that time frame. So.
Right.
So just so I understand, does that mean you'll just notify the board and we don't have to vote again when you do the inevitable other extension?
If it's approved, that's what this does.
Okay. Are there further questions or comments on this? And we're confident that the service is going to maintain. I mean, it's not, we weren't trying to end this because we weren't getting good service.
That's right. This was another, I think, part of our overall initiative to transition these, break them up, but also transition to potentially the state use program, where we think we might have opportunities for strategic partnerships that give, you know, job opportunities to people with disabilities, veterans, you know, other, you know, populations that sometimes are underserved or disadvantaged in the job market. So this is just part of that effort, and it's a timing issue. You know, we will be having to kind of negotiate with this